try and stick to the program and really answer those questions that we were asked. But before I do, I want to pick up on the Creative Commons thread that Jenny brought up. I wasn't going to talk about Creative Commons a lot this time around, but we're an independent record label that started using Creative Commons licenses for two reasons. One, when the RIAA lawsuit started happening, it was important for us to protect our fans, and in the sense that we wanted them to share the music. We think that file sharing helps independent artists because it exposes new people to your work. As long as it's done non-commercially, we have no problem with that. So we started using the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike. Some of the artists chose the Share Alike. Some of the artists chose the No Derivatives Creative Commons license. How many people are familiar with the different Creative Commons licenses? Okay, not many. So Creative Commons isn't Creative Commons isn't just one license. So if you're using Creative Commons, you do choose as an artist or as a creator which license you're going to be using and for what purposes you're using the license and what is allowed and what's not allowed. And one rumor, obviously within the present music industry, the performance rights organizations did not like the Creative Commons idea, and many claim that Creative Commons is incompatible with their writer member agreements. I'm talking about organizations like PRS in England, GEMA in Germany, etc. I don't believe that to be the case. I think that with a minor change in wording of the society's membership agreement, the Creative Commons non-commercial licenses could be compatible. And this goes with what Jenny was saying, that I think it would be very easy to integrate the Creative Commons system and the existing music industry revenue streams if there was goodwill from the societies, from the people in the board of directors of the societies. Now, going back to what we do as an independent label and independent artists, unfortunately, most of our income does not come from the existing music industry. It does not come from the PROs. In Canada, for example, if you get airplay on college radio, you get paid at a much lower rate per airplay than if you're on commercial radio. Similarly, the blank media levy in Canada is distributed according to two criteria, as I was saying to Peter. One is commercial airplay, so most independents on college radio, community radio, you don't get factored into that. And the second criteria for the distribution of the copy levy is SoundScan sales. So if you're selling records off the stage or in mine pa shops, which hopefully a few survive in each town, you also don't get a slice of that pie. So my concern with any kind of future system, global license type system, would be who is going to distribute those funds. I hope to hell that it wouldn't be the existing music industry. I think it should be a new PRO, a new artist-run global performance rights agency or artist rights agency that would administer these things transparently, fairly, and completely outside the realm of what I no longer refer to as the music industry. I refer to it as the entertainment industry. I think the industry as it stands today is about product and less about art. So what we need to do is we need to get back to the do-it-yourself and to the art and to the music, and set up a new system whereby we can remunerate artists accordingly, while granting the access to the consumers. So going back to the questions, the first question with regards to, from the point of view of creative persons in the public that enjoys listening to recorded music, how do we support both the livelihoods of the musicians and the access to the works? Well, I think that those things really go